Hey, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
To look at you when you're so tan right now.
Don't you love it?
Yeah, I need some of that in my life. I'm about to go bust out my fake tan because I'll be ghosting over here.
Yeah, this was like really 2 days in the sun.
Really?
Yeah.
Just two.
Pretty much.
You were at the beach the whole like week.
Well, I was, but after that first really good day on the beach, I'm still itching from my dry, flaky skin, but
yikes.
But yeah, I love the color.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you.
You look radiant.
Thank you. I mean, I am a little flaky, so
that's just okay. Don't look at me notice. Too close. So how was your beach trip?
It was wonderful. It was lots of family time. Even though I didn't rest that much because I had my nieces and nephews but you know what? I would rather play with them and get laughs and memories out of them than sleep and rest.
Yeah. So you'll sleep when you're dead.
Exactly.
that's what I tell myself.
That's the rate I'm going. Working from home, I don't get my lunch break. It's just like go, go, go.
I know.
But it's okay. You're right. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
That's all you'll do is sleep. Well, good. I'm really glad you had an amazing time.
Yeah.
What'd you do before your vacation?
Well, let me just tell you.
Oh.
Somebody picked me up.
For
dinner and took me to not a restaurant. To not Coco Shrimp.
That's me.
She surprised me with the birthday party for my 40th. And I was very surprised. Y'all pulled that off so well. I was really surprised. And, you know, thinking back, looking at all the little conversations we had, I'm like, it all makes sense. But when we walked into your mom's house,
oh my gosh, that was funny. I was like, turn all the lights. And she goes, why? She's going to think. And I'm like, yeah, but she'll see everybody when we walk in.
So I did see silhouettes.
Oh, you did?
In the living room. And so when you walked in, you're like, mom. And then she's like, yeah, in here. And then I'm like, you said, what are they doing? And I looked and saw silhouettes and I was like, what is she doing in the dark with a man in her living room? What is going on here?
Oh, man.
And then the lights come on. Everybody says surprise. I was like, y'all got me.
Yeah, I felt really bad because you picked Coco Shrimp. And I was like, I told my mom and sister, I was like, she's so excited about dinner. We're going to have to take her. We're going to have to really take her.
Yes, but please. Yes, please.
We Lena said she didn't want to do anything big or have a to-do for her birthday. And I said, that's not up to you. Okay.
Too bad, so sad.
It's not your birthday. Okay.
Actually.
It's not your wishes. But we just wanted to make you feel special because you do everything for everybody else. And
y'all did make me feel special.
You deserve to be celebrated. It was supposed to be for you and Lane, but Jess said Lane will leave if it has anything to do with him. And I said, fine, it's going to be all about Lena. And it was.
Yeah. Well, so I tried to make it part of it.
Yeah.
You know, when y'all sang happy birthday and I said, and Lane, and he just shook his head no.
Yeah. Anyway. It was 80s/90s themed.
Yes.
We had My Little Ponies. We had
boomboxes,
like Rubik's cubes.
Yeah.
We had a big balloon arch, which I made, which I'm pretty proud of.
That was awesome. You did, you just went all out.
It's my new hobby, I guess. So rent me out if for your next birthday party, if you need a balloon arch.
She did so good.
and then I wanted to do like G.I. Joe's and like some of Lane's favorite things. That was my idea for the party.
Yeah.
And the picture of you and Lane dressed as a man and a woman for Halloween, I was looking everywhere for that. I was going to get it blown up and put, you know, have it up there. And then the whole Lane thing crumbled.
You should have just done it.
I should have. But I did find the picture of me and you.
Yes.
Where you were dressed as a man and I was dressed as a terrifying sheep. Which is the stuff of nightmares.
Halloween costumes, though, back then, they were all like homemade. Nothing like they are today.
Right. Yeah.
They were just cool back then. Even though, it was, could be a little terrifying.
That was, I was wearing a white trash bag with cotton balls glued all over it. I was wearing grandmother's white cap that was like, I don't know, plasticky thing sticking out. It just looked like a big cotton ball is what it looked like.
Yeah.
And then black eyes. You know what? I'm going to post the picture on our stories today.
Do it.
Okay. I'm going to post it. So if you're listening on Wednesday, when this episode drops, go to our stories and look. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Yeah. So I'm glad you had a great time.
Thank you so much for all of that.
Good, and Lena made me feel good because she showed up here with a pickle snow cone.
That is the least I could do.
Oh my goodness, and I haven't suckled the sweet teat of a pickle snow cone in a long time.
Well, there you go.
I am loving it because I've been having some back pain.
Oh.
And, you know, pickle juice is good for
hydration.
That.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, what do you have to tell us today?
So, it's going to be kind of a short case.
Okay.
I have actually a 2-for-1
special.
Go on. But this first case is about Lauren Castellari.
Okay.
So we had a friend write in and asked us to discuss this case and look into it further. She gave me a little bit of specifics on it and said, you know, she just wanted to know more.
Mm-hmm.
This one really stumped me.
Oh, no.
And I think this is what really caused my writer's block for the last 3 or 4 weeks. because I really want to do good and well telling these life stories.
Yeah. I mean, these aren't just stories. They're about real people.
Exactly.
I mean, we have real people.
Yeah.
Family members of victims.
Friends.
Write us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we want to do right by the victims for sure.
Exactly. And so when I could not find much more information than what she had already sent me, I was so frustrated. But yeah, there's just not a lot to go on with this case.
Is it solved?
It is solved.
Okay. Well.
So it's really cut and dry. Anyway, it's sad to me because every life matters, and I know that Lauren was loved.
Yeah.
She had a big smile, and when I see pictures of her, I see so much love and life in her face.
Aww.
Comments on social media tell of how she always just made people laugh. She was funny, and she made people smile. And there were comments of her being a firecracker, which when I saw that comment, I laughed to myself because that's one of the first things I thought of about her picture. When I saw her face, I was like, ooh, she looks like she can.
She just looks bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, she's just fun and spunky.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, with that, I will tell you a little bit about what I could find. In April 2011... Lauren had gone missing. She was 27 years old and lived in Centralia, Illinois. The evidence that was brought to the surface was that Clay Maxwell, who was 51, had picked Lauren up from her mother's home. When Lauren did not return home by 6 the next evening, her mother went looking for her. She went to Clay's, Lauren's mother went to Clay's home, but Lauren was not there. Her mother saw items being burned in the backyard.
What?
And she noticed a set of new pillows that were still wrapped in plastic inside the home.
Hmm.
So it seems like she was onto something. Her mother was very intuitive and observant.
Who's this guy to the family? We don't know. I think, like, a family friend or something?
I don't know. I never could find that specific information.
Like his connection?
Right. Mm. In my mind, in my assumption, I say it's just one of Lauren's friends that was around for a while, and maybe Lauren's parents knew of him and she would go hang out with them.
How old was she?
She was 27.
Okay.
And so Clay was 51. So I think he had a son right about the same age as Lauren.
Okay.
So 3 days later, Lauren's parents, after they had gone to Clay's house, Lauren's parents reportedly saw Clay's son, Brian, the one that was close to the same age as Lauren.
Okay.
They saw him cleaning the home with a cleaning agent. The report said cleaning agent. I'm assuming bleach or something like that.
Yeah.
A search warrant was, you know, I'm assuming the parents went to the police and told them what they observed. So a search warrant was later issued for Clay Maxwell's home. And that resulted in blood being recovered from a bedroom. Blood was in the trunk of Clay's car. And blood was on the wheel well of a wagon. I don't know what kind of wagon. I'm thinking one of those red, what are they, Red Rider?
Yeah.
Anyway, DNA tests indicated that all samples of each blood patches was a match to Lauren.
Can you imagine going to look for your daughter and this guy is like, yeah, I don't know where she is, but he's burning stuff in the backyard?
Right. And he has and new, he's like, pillows. New
stuff.
Yeah.
That's like so chilling.
Yeah. Oh. And that's what, I mean, her mother was on to something. Oh, and yeah. She knew it.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
yeah. So on May 4th, 2011, just 2 weeks after being reported missing, Lauren's body was discovered and pulled from a quarry lake just south of Nashville, Illinois. A heavy chain was wrapped around Lauren's waist, and the chain was locked with a padlock.
Oh my gosh.
After an autopsy, it was noted that Lauren had suffered significant blunt trauma and multiple fractures to her skull.
Oh.
So, with Clay being the last person to be seen with Lauren, and what Lauren's mother observed at the Maxwell home and the police discoveries there as well, this was an open and shut case.
Yeah.
So Clay was charged, but why? What's the motive here?
Yeah, what?
Speculation from web sleuths was that Clay had robbed a bank and Lauren was going to turn him in. She was going to go tell the police she knew it was him. And he just couldn't let that happen.
Did he rob a bank?
I mean, I could not find any hard, concrete evidence about that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to think that that could have been. Or maybe he made a pass on her and she wasn't interested.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That was like the first thing I thought of. Was there signs of sexual assault?
That was not even mentioned.
Wow.
I'm telling you, there was no information.
Wow.
Yes. So Clay, he entered an Alford plea and in Washington County Court in Nashville, Illinois, to first degree murder charges in connection with Lauren's murder. Circuit Judge Dennis Hatch accepted the plea that includes a 20-year prison term.
Is that it?
20.
That's it?
20. 20.
That's it?
That's it.
Good gravy.
Yeah. So he received credit for time served while awaiting trial. I don't know how long that was, but he will have to complete 100% of the rest of the sentence, which is until 2031, not even, what, 7 years?
Wow.
From now. But an Alford plea, if you don't know, it means that Clay concurs that prosecutors have enough evidence to convict him, but he still denies guilt. Mm-hmm. Two other counts of first degree murder and a single count of concealing a homicidal death were dropped as part of the plea agreement.
I will not tolerate this. I will not.
Isn't it disgusting?
I hate when they do this. I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I've seen comments about, you know, why didn't her family push for more? But they just wanted to.
Well, that's the thing. In like, I can't say, you know, why did they drop the charges? Because really it is up to their family. Yeah. It's up to the family. If they say, you know, we'd rather not go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather just, you know, have him serve his time. If they want to do it that way, that's up to them.
Right.
But I'm angry about it.
Yeah, I am too.
Which matters the most.
Well, if I think I might make you a little more angry. Brian Maxwell.
Okay, Clay's I was going to ask him about him. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. He was initially also charged of concealment of a homicidal death. However, those charges were dropped.
That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That I will be mad about.
Yeah.
Because he obviously was involved.
Yeah.
She after saw the him fact, cleaning. At least. Yeah, he was cleaning. What man uses cleaning agents? Okay. You tell me one and I'll call you a liar. You know what I mean?
My husband.
He's concealing something is all I have to say.
Oh, no. But that's the end of that case. That is all I have for you.
I am furious. I need a snow cone break. Hold on.
Get a bite of your pickle. Do you feel better?
No, I don't, actually.
Get another bite. No. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Lauren.
Lauren, you deserved so much better.
Yes, you did. We lost her beautiful, smiling, bright face when he took her life.
That's right.
So since we have a little bit of extra time here, I would like to give some attention to a couple more lives.
Okay.
Here. Yariana Wheeler. This is pretty recent.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but
I haven't actually.
So like Lauren, Yariana Wheeler was living in Illinois, and she also was found in a similar way as Lauren.
Go on.
She lived in Chicago, but was originally from Bellwood, about 15 miles west of the city. On August 15th of 2021, a fisherman found Yariana's body floating in the waters of Lake Michigan, about 3 miles southeast of Waukegan Harbor. The U.S. Coast Guard recovered her body shortly after 3 p.m. that day. Detectives initially dubbed Yariana as Lake Michigan Jane Doe.
Aww.
They discovered that she was 6 to 7 months pregnant.
And the baby was still in there?
Yeah, she was. Oh, I mean, they both were deceased.
I can't believe the baby hadn't expelled. How long was she in the water? Do we know?
So detectives believe that she was in the water no more than 7 to 12 days.
Okay. Well, that,
when they found all her. Right.
That
I mean, we
may not
we
be
know
long
now.
Enough. Yeah.
Right. But we know now how long she was, but that's what they speculated at first, 7 to 12 days. They reached out to the public for help in trying to identify her. They released a sketch and a still frame image from a surveillance video.
Wow.
This image showed a young woman who was visibly pregnant. a tip was called in by someone who recognized her, and this aided in the identification of Yariana. Dental records were obtained and confirmed. The autopsy revealed that she had several sharp force injuries on her body. Basically, she had been stabbed several times.
Oh.
Detectives went to Yariana's home and obtained additional information and clues. They were able to quickly identify 21-year-old Robert Drummond as a person of interest. Robert was Yariana's boyfriend.
Hmm.
Surveillance video and cell phone records show Robert was with Yariana the night that she was last seen.
Right.
Lake County Sheriff's detectives worked with the United States Coast Guard to investigate and determine the Lake Michigan water currents in effort to find out, like, where did she enter into the water?
I love when they do stuff like this.
I know.
It's amazing.
These detectives really went, I feel like,
yeah,
they went above and beyond, like, that's... to figure out where she went in, where the currents took her.
Right.
All of the surveillance videos that they have.
Yeah.
Tracking her every move. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive how they did this.
It's refreshing to hear.
Right. So sheriff's detectives followed up on hundreds of leads throughout the investigation. They determined that Yariana met with Robert near Oakwood Beach in Chicago. Detectives went to the area on August 30th and recovered evidence. Including some of Yariana's belongings that were left on the beach. They determined that this location was likely the crime scene. Mm. It was later discovered that Robert used Yariana's bank card to purchase about $300 worth of...
Don't say it.
Energy drinks.
I don't believe this.
What?
I'm so sorry. What?
$300 worth of energy drinks? What? Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
So what they know now is that on August 10th, the two of them had spent the day together. They went to the Shed Aquarium. Later, they went to eat at Portillo's. And that's where they got into an argument and went their separate ways. Robert took the train home while Yariana went to the movie theater, but it was determined that she never even went into the theater.
She went there. Did she buy a ticket or she just went there?
Doesn't say anything about if she bought a ticket, but she was there. She was seen on surveillance, but it never showed her going inside.
Right.
So surveillance video showed her outside on her phone, and records indicate she called Robert more than 25 times after they separated. Around 9:50 p.m., surveillance cameras captured her getting into an Uber where she called Robert again. The Uber driver was found and questioned.
Wow.
So the Uber driver told investigators that he assumed she was talking to her boyfriend because they were discussing where they were going to meet up. Records also showed she left a voicemail with a friend indicating that she was going to meet up with Robert. Yariana was dropped off at a parking lot near 39th Street Beach just after 10 p.m. Cell phone records show that she walked on the beach blocks from Robert's home.
Wow.
About an hour later, she was seen on surveillance video walking next to an unidentifiable person, male, believed to be Robert. They were going toward the water of Oakwood Beach. The two of them disappeared from camera view before the person believed to be Robert reappears alone. About 40 minutes later.
Oh, that sends chills down my spine. And
he's carrying Yariana's large square-shaped pink purse that she was carrying in the previous video. And I say that it's believed to be Robert because the footage is pretty grainy.
But you can tell it's her, I guess, because you can see
her pregnant.
Her belly.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, probably not easy to make out distinguishing characteristics, but if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, mm-hmm. it's probably a duck.
Yeah, definitely not a zebra.
So cameras also captured a man walking on Robert's street while holding the purse, believed to be Robert. Robert was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Robert's attorney, Ari Williams, argued that Robert's phone would have pinged near the beach on the night of Yariana's disappearance because he lived in the area. So, like, duh, yeah. It would have pinged close.
Right.
So, yeah, that doesn't mean that he actually was on the beach with her, right? The defense attorney also said that Yariana was living in a shelter at the time of her death. I know.
I hate that.
I know. However, she previously lived with Robert and his family, and they took care of her, which could be why he had her bank card.
Hmm.
Okay, but just because he had her card, if she left it there, does not mean that he gets to use it.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Exactly. And buy $300 worth of energy drinks.
Exactly.
So detectives also found a photo of a cut that Robert had on his hand. He took this photo and sent it to a friend.
What? Stop.
Yeah, just 2 days after Yariana was murdered.
Why? Why?
So a prosecutor said he told a witness that he was going to get his hand checked. Like, he sends this picture and he's like, I need to go get my hand checked because I might have injured a nerve cutting my finger while working at Home Run Inn. So he's like, I injured it at work. Mm. Need to go get it checked out. But the company records at Home Run Inn showed he did not work there at all between August 7th and August 18th.
Wow. Okay.
His attorney also claimed that Robert had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder stemming from a random attack when he was 15 and he was shot multiple times.
Oh my Lord.
And he had also witnessed a friend get killed. So he's had all this trauma, and I'm not trying to discount that, but that doesn't mean he gets to kill his girlfriend.
Right. Yeah.
The judge ordered Robert Drummond to be held without bail as the case continues. This was in 2021. And this is the last thing that I was able to find on the case.
Whoa.
So I don't know if he had been sentenced, if it's even gone to trial yet. It's almost been 3 years, but I mean, this is Chicago. There is a lot of crime there.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're pretty backed up with all the cases that yeah. they've got. But goodness I thought gracious. About contacting the court like I've done mm-hmm. in other cases to see where they're at with it. But I didn't do my due diligence. So,
yeah, I mean, that's very common in perpetrator stabbings. Like, they injure themselves like mm-hmm. pretty badly sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, because the knife gets bloody and slips. Yeah, I mean... Good. I'm glad. I hope he can't like wipe his butt and stuff.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate it.
These three precious lives. I couldn't tell you a lot about them. And I hate that. But
you know what? You did tell us about them. And now we know.
Right.
I hate when the media finds something so sensational and they clog mm-hmm. their output with the same case over and over again, and then it's like, oh well, this little pregnant chick wasn't, you know,
right,
we'll tell you what happened and then let's move on.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate it.
Yeah, how do you pick and choose? There's so many stories out there. So
there are, and I'm going to tell you one next week that has gotten a lot of media coverage.
Oh.
So stay tuned for that.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. This was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast, or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.